turn to number 16. I want to thank you so much, Brother Stewart, for the room, the hospitality, the food. These folks that cook food around here has been absolutely amazing. Everything, the work, the labor that y'all do, I'm telling you, it's not in vain. And so, number 16 and verse number 31, number 16:31. I'm going to show you something tonight that's going to mess you up. I like it. Watch this now. The Bible said, number 16:31, and it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking, that all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, all the men that attaineth unto Korah and all their goods, and they and all that attaineth to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, and they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men that offered incense. Now look at verse 33. And they and all that attained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now, I want you to notice something, and we're going to talk to you, and I'm going to lead you right up to this. I want you to notice something. I see what I would consider as an earthquake that took place in this text. And God swallowed up some folks, and we're going to find out why in just a moment. But I'm going to show you something tonight and teach you something that's going to blow your mind. I want you to see the grace. I want you to see the mercy of Almighty God. I'm telling you what a God we serve tonight. What a mighty God we serve. Is he mighty God? Somebody help me. Lord, I feel a breath from another world. But I want to preach tonight for just a little bit on this thought. Don't give up the search. Don't give up the search. You say, preacher, I don't get it. I used to ask Dr. Rice, what kind of preaching do you do? He said, I do porcupine preaching. I said, what kind is that? He said, that's where people get the point. And I promise you, when this is before I get through with this, you will get the point. Matter of fact, a little glory along with it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for what Brother Joe, what you gave that man of God to preach to our hearts tonight. Now, Holy Ghost of God, I pray once again that you send anointing, God, on me as I stand behind this sacred desk. As I realize every day I live that you don't have to have me, but I sure gotta have you. Because without you, I can't do nothing. But with you, I can do all things. Lord, touch me and fill me and give me what I need. I have to be able to bless your people. And anybody lost, bring them under conviction, saved by the grace of God. And everything you do will praise you and thank you and give you glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Now, listen to me. Church. In Haiti, when you and I have been watching one of the greatest tragedies that we've ever seen on this planet. That earthquake that hit Haiti was a 7.3 or 4 on the Richter scale. And they said they're estimating between 140,000 to over 200,000 I'd be dead because of this earthquake. and from all over the world, help has come. And we watched and we prayed and we prayed around the church. I said, dear God, I said, it can't enough doctors cover all the needs that those folks need there in Haiti. I said, God, you can walk all over that place and you can heal this one and heal that one and snatch this one out of the rubble. I tell you, we watched God perform miracles after miracle after miracle. Our people have been found and dug out of the rubble there in Haiti. Now, come with me, class. In our text, there was a group of men. One man by the name of Korah. I'm not going to read a lot because I want to get you this and get you out. Watch this now. Korah and a bunch of his crowd had got together and they had decided to stand against the man of God. Whoa, look at verse number 4. Watch this now. Verse 3. The Bible said they gathered them in Numbers 16:3. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Watch this, class. Korah and a bunch of his crowd got together and decided to stand against the man of God. What a dangerous thing to do is to stand against a man of God. You say, Brother Steele, why is it so dangerous? Because when you stand against God's man, you'll find yourself standing against a holy God. Am I right about it? You know what a lot of our church members need at the house of God? I tell them this at New Life. We need a good old-fashioned understanding that God don't have to have you, but you and I have got to have God. Am I right about it? There's a lot of folks walk around and try to stand against the preacher and act like, well, if I go out of here, this church is going down. The last time I checked, the church is not built on a deacon, and the church not built on a trustee, and the church not built on a choir member. But he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody help me. I'm going to tell you something about Brother Stewart and Gateway. Come in class, hear this, and here it goes. In Acts 5:38 and 39, the book said, if this work of this cancer was of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you can't overthrow it lest you find yourself fighting against a holy God. I stopped by to tell you, this is God's church down here in Boiling Springs. And you walk out, God will have somebody coming in and take your place. Because it's not about us, it's all about Jesus. Am I right about it? I thought I'd throw that in. But come here. You know why it's dangerous to mess with the man of God? That preacher sitting right there has a mirror on him. He said, what do you mean? In Genesis 12:3, he says, Abraham, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. The best thing you can do, if I'm going to reap what I sow, if I can bless him, I'm going to get blessed. I think I'd rather bless him than curse at him. Am I right about it? Because you're going to get what you, whatever you do to him is coming back to you. Well, you're going to get some shouting in a minute. Well, as Moses laid on his face because he knew God heard what was going on and God wasn't going to put up with it. Well, the Bible said, God said, Moses, I'm going to do a new thing. Well, look at verse 31. It came to pass, I had made an end of speaking all these words. That ground clave the sunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth, swallowed them up. Their houses, all the men that attained them in the core, and all their goods. And they, and all that attained to them, went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And notice, God said, I've had enough of this. How you put your mouth and your hands on the man of God. God said, Moses, step back. They hadn't heard what I said. I'll do a new thing. And God opened the ground up, and they fell alive into the pit of hell for messing with the man of God. Come here, class. But something I want to show you that's amazing. Turn your Bibles with me over to Psalms 42. And I want you to explain something to me. We're rolling now. Now, you come on with me. I want you to explain something to me. Look at Psalm 42. I want you to look at the top of your caption on your Bible. I want you to say, would you please tell me something? God, I need some answers. Oh, watch this. At the top of Psalm 42, what did it say at the end of that encaption, right at the top of the whole verse? It says, this is from the what now? The sons of who? The sons of who class? Wait a minute. Come over to Psalm 45. Would you tell me what that encaption says there? It says, they the sons of who? Look at Psalm 46. They the sons of who? Look at Psalm 47. At the sons of who? Look at Psalm 48. There's the sons of who? Wait, now wait a minute. How far Korah and all of his family perished in the pit of hell? I thought that was all gone. Come here, class. There's Korah's sons. See, they used to sing these songs. Like this was music to the Jewish nation. They were sang these psalms. Watch this now. Whoa! Come here. Here's what they were saying. Psalm 46, just a little bit of it. It says, God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. I look at Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his, in this holiness, beautiful for situation, and the joy of the earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. Wait a minute now. What is Korah? How can Korah's children sing the songs of Zion when God wiped them out? Come here, class. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Look at Numbers chapter number 26 and verse 9 and 10. Go to Numbers 26 verse 9. I'm going to mess you up right there. Watch this. It's going to mess you up. Whoa! Come here. The Bible said, in Numbers chapter number 26, look at verse number 9. Verse 9 tells about the company of Korah that stood against Moses and the Lord. Verse 10 tell you what happened. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah and with that company died. And the time of the fire divided 250 men, and they became a sign. Look at verse 11, class. Read it with me. Ready? Here we go. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah, tell me what it said, died not. Now, wait a minute. That was an earthquake that took place in that day. And I don't know what all happened, but some kind of way, somebody drug and caused children out of the rubbish, and the children died not because somebody drug them out. And now these children are singing the songs of Zion because they can't get over the mercy and the grace of the Almighty God. Somebody in this house ought to sing the songs of Zion when you see the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Hey, come here, class. Some of you are just like them. I know I was. Some of you were underneath the rubbish of this world. The world had you weighed down with alcohol, weighed down with dope, weighed down with your past, weighed down with your present. And when God found you, really, the truth of the matter is, you don't look like what you've been through. And the truth of the matter is, with all the hell that you've been through, you should have blown your brains out a long time ago. But thank God he drug you out of the rubbish. God. Watch this real quick. Give you three simple things. Now get out of the way. Number one, you said, preacher, you see, the governor over there in Haiti, he called off about a week ago, he called off the search. And the same day they called off the search, they were still having miracles pulled from the rubbish. You know what's wrong with the church tonight? The church has lost the fire because the church has called off the search. We're looking at what's going on NBC and ABC and CBS, and there's no need to hunt sinners anymore. There's no need to pray anymore. There's no need to shout anymore. There's no need to bless God anymore. But I tell you, bless God, the devil is alive. There is a need to pray. There is a need to shout. It is a need to give God glory. Somebody help me. You say, why, Brother Steele, should we not call off the search? Because number one, it ain't over until God says it's over. It ain't over until God says it's over. I remember when I was counted out. I remember when I told you, when I was thought of a nobody and a nothing. But I'm glad I was underneath all the rubbish. You'll never be nothing. You'll never amount to anything. I was down underneath that rubbish. And I heard, I'm like the psalmist. I inclined unto the Lord. And he heard my cry. And God came where I was underneath the rubbish and brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a solid rock and established my going and put a new song in my heart. I'm glad when I was underneath the rubbish, somebody didn't call off the search. They said he can be saved. He can be changed. He can be different. He can come out. Thank God it ain't over till God says it's over. There's been many of you, the folks have called off the search before you got in. So ain't you some messing with them? You're hard-headed, can't tell them nothing. But somebody in the shadows, some precious mama, got on her knees and said, y'all can call off the search if you want to. Oh, my baby. But oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Father, you told me to call unto you and you would answer me. God, my baby's in the streets. My babies don't know you. God, my babies need to be saved by the grace of God. The devil's not taking them to hell. I poured the word of God in them and you said train them up in the way that they should go, and the word would not depart. That's your word. I won't come back void. Oh God, save them out of hell. Oh God, turn them around. And grandma And Grandpa wouldn't call off the search. And here you sit tonight and look back over your shoulders. You stand here like Paul the Apostle, 1 Corinthians 15:10. And you say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Thank God somebody didn't call off the search because it ain't over till God says it's over. Watch this, mama. Watch this, daddy. Oh, it ain't over. Oh, there's all kinds of rubble. It's on people's lives tonight. You got people loaded down with the rubble of this world, family members. But don't call off the search, because it ain't over. So God says it's over. Here's Korah's children singing, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the beauty of his holiness. Beautiful for situation and joy to the whole wide world. Hey, thank God they're saying they done never done it. Cause when that thing hit some kind of way, somebody could have said, let them go. Let us give up on them. But they drug them out and called us children that did not die. And it's good to know some of you had friends that's already dead, it's already gone, already out of here, that died without God. But here you sit tonight in your right mind with a Bible in your lap, with your name recorded in heaven, with a shout in your mouth. You ought to thank God that somebody didn't call off the search. Amen. Number two, real quick. The second reason we shouldn't call off the search, because you don't never know. You don't never know who you're going to pull out. You don't never know who you're going to pull out. Watch this. Saul in Acts 8, breathing out threatenings on his way to Damascus, had letters to kill God's people. But on his journey, God met him on the road in Acts 9. God said, hey, Saul, Saul. He said, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you persecuting. It's hard to kick against the bricks. Mm-mm. And you know the story. When God got through with him, he changed his name to Paul. And then you hear him standing up and saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you're a new creature. All things pass away. All things have become new. Hey, one minute he was marching toward hell, and the next minute he's marching toward glory. I'm telling you right now, who would ever dream that a man like this will be one of the greatest Christians that ever walked in shoe leather on this planet? Why? Because God drug him out of the rubble. Listen, let me tell you something. That woman that Jesus found in John 4, before Jesus got her, she said, come here, man, before Jesus got her. But when Jesus got through, she said, y'all come and see a man. Hey, hey, I want you to know that you don't never know who you're going to pull out. I know I've been at New Life for 27 years as a pastor, but for 31 years, I've been saved by the grace of God, washed in Calvary's blood. But for 31 years, I've been beating doors every week, knocking doors, trying to show men, women, and boys and girls how to be saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you right now, some of the people that come out of the rubble, you would never dream what they are. I stand amazed. I stand amazed when I look around that place and remember what this one used to be. I remember how that one used to be. I remember what that one used to do. I look in the choir. I see Brother Waddell Ison standing up in the choir. One of our bus children used to come to church and sit there and laugh and cut up 10 years old. But I see Brother Waddell. He said, "Preacher, you preached to us so much that word of God. When I got old enough to understand and comprehend, the Holy Ghost brought me under conviction. I couldn't shake it off. I couldn't smoke it off. I couldn't dope it off." He said, "I fell to my knees, and that word of God snatched me out from beneath the rubble, snatched me out of the pies of hell." Hey, now he's singing in the choir. Somebody help me now. You'll never know what God's going to drag out. Brother Gary Withers, Brother Gary bent me for 27 years. He was the first man came 27 years ago in that little storefront building. 15 children and 5 women. That little storefront, Brother Gary Withers was smoking, was taking, popping pills. Went to Charlotte, him and his friends came back and fell asleep. Somebody sold him some sleeping pills, thought they was getting some speed. Fell asleep, lost on his way to hell, and hit a medium, those big concrete columns on Highway 85, and flipped the car, threw people out the windshield, broke legs, and nobody died. But Brother Gary, watch this now. Nothing but a dope smoking pot head headed to hell. Him and his wife, Sister Brenda, was on the brink of splitting up. And he said they had the radio on. And Dr. J. Harold Smith was preaching on the radio. He said, "I ain't got no time for that." He turned the station, and Dr. J. Harold Smith was on the other station. He said, "I ain't got no time for that." He turned the station. 3 times, Dr. J. Harold Smith is on the station. He said to her, "Let's listen for a moment. Maybe God trying to tell us something." When Dr. Smith got through preaching, both of them fell on the knees beside the bed and invited Christ into their heart. He became the Lord and the Savior. I never would have met Brother Gary, but look what God had drunk off beneath the rubble. Look what God brought beneath the rubble, Sister Brenda. Oh, if you come to New Life, that woman can bring the house down. She get to singing, got so much God on her, it can cut it with a knife. She get to singing, Brother Matt, I tell you, that place comes unglued. Folks running up and down the aisles all over the building. When she stands up, got God all over. Know what she's singing about. Why? Because when you was in there underneath the rubble and God drug you out, ain't nobody got to tell you I have a testimony. You know where God brought you from. Ain't nobody got to shout for you. You can shout for yourself. Am I right about it? But I look at both of them. 27 years they've been with me all over that place. And there's people in this room. Now you're missionaries. Now you're preachers. Now you're Sunday school teachers. That God, somebody didn't give up the search, drug you off from underneath the rubble. Now, let me say, you don't never know what you're going to drag out. And number 3. I said number 1, because it's not over till God says it's over. I said number 2, because you don't never know who God's going to pull out. And boy, I can stand here half the night and tell you, I've been at New Life, like I said, and long, I can tell you the thousands. We've literally seen thousands and thousands of people saved by the grace of God. Oh, I can tell you story, but I'm going to give you number 3 and I'm going to quit. Don't give up the search. Don't give up the search. That's my 3rd point. I challenge you not to give up the search. But think about it. 31 years ago, I got hired at McGuire Nuclear Station. Now, you watch God. I told you yesterday about that determinate counsel of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and foreknowledge. I tried to get hired over here, over here, over here, and got turned down all those times. I went to school to be a welder, and I got a degree in welding and auto mechanic. And I got hired at McGuire Nuclear Station. But before that time, I was 17 years of age. I read, to make a long story short, you've heard me tell it. It got me under conviction. My mama said to another lady, my preacher is scared to preach out of Revelation. I was sitting on the edge of the porch in the summertime. I read Revelation 9. I couldn't understand it. I was lost. I couldn't understand it. But they talked about those beasts. Had teeth like a lion, hair like a woman, body like a horse, tail like a scorpion, flying through hell, wanting to sting people, folks begging for dying, couldn't die. I said, oh God. I got to get away from that thing right there. I don't want no part of that. I ain't lying to you. Scared me to death. So I started going to church after church, trying to figure out how to be saved. Went back to my own church. You've heard me tell it. I was 19. I said, preacher, 2 years have passed. Could you tell me how to get to heaven? How to be saved? Can you really know you're going to heaven when you die? Looked at me and said, Steele, don't you even worry about that. He said, one day God will tell you that, how to get to heaven. He said, but don't you worry about it right now. Boy, listen, I think he was a preacher, knew what he was talking about. But God, that determined to cancel, said, let's let him get hired down at McGuire, because I got somebody down there he needs to meet. I got hired at McGuire nuclear station. And just so happened, they put me on the crew with a young man by the name of Danny Willis. Danny, a soul winner, a white gentleman by the name of Danny Willis. You say, why do you have to say a white gentleman? I'll tell you why. I said, I'm glad he didn't see my face, but he told me about God's grace. Yay! But make a long story short, old Danny said, Steele, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. I've joined the church, been baptized, scout master, usher boy. I gave him a whole list of stuff that made me a Christian. Danny said, if you die this moment, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? I said, Danny, I can't say that, but I sure don't want to go to hell. He said, Steele, if I can take this book and show you how you can miss the fires of hell and walk on streets of gold, would you believe God? I said, Danny, I'll believe anything God got to say. I'm 31 years ago. I got down on my knees. Ask Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come in my heart and be my Savior. Now listen, I got born again, washed in the blood of Calvary. Danny gave me 1 John, took me down the Romans Road. We made a turn, went over to 1 John Boulevard. Hit me up with 1 John 5:13. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Not hope so, not think so, not wonder so. I know I'm going to heaven. Somebody help me. God
said, I need somebody. The pool, an earthquake has hit Concord. I need somebody to pull some people out. I said, God, send somebody to Concord. Didn't know he was going to send me. And boy, for 31 years of being saved, 27 years of pastor, I've been going week after week. I ain't give up the search, dragging them out. Come on. Yeah. I've just been telling about Jesus. I say, come here. Let me tell you about the grace. Let me tell you about the blood. I can't give up the search because you don't never know who you're going to pull out. And it ain't over until God says it's over. Our earthquakes hit down here in Barton Springs. An earthquake has hit where you at. But thank God that somebody, poor chorus, children, help of the rubber. You don't ever know. Thank God somebody pulled you out of the rubble. It's time not to give up the search. Somebody help me now. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. I praise your wonderful name. Oh God, that somebody didn't give up the search on me. Somebody didn't throw in the towel on me. But somebody in the midst of it all, somebody kept praying. Somebody kept giving. Somebody kept believing. And I pray tonight that somebody won't give the search up on their mama, on their daddy, on their brother, on their sister, on their aunt, their uncles and grandpas, grandmas. This ain't no time to give up the search. An earthquake has hit this nation and around the world, and all we are, the rescue team has went to Haiti to rescue people from the rubble. That's what we are. We're Jesus' rescue team that's pulling people from the rubble. Not by our power, not by our strength, but by your might. Because Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God on the salvation to everyone that believe, for the Jew first, also the Greek. While our heads bowed for one moment, how many in the house say, Brother Steele, if I die tonight, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand as a witness of that? You know that without a doubt. You can put your hand down. How many say, Brother Steele, don't embarrass me, but pray for me. If I die tonight, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I sure don't want to go to hell. Don't embarrass me, Brother Steele, but would you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Is there one like that in the house? Not sure that you're going to heaven. Let's stand together, church. Look up this way, church. I'm done. Let Brother Torrey sing whatever God lead him to do. I'm through. But church, I'm going to tell you something. God knows. Oh, I don't have time to tell you the stories of people. I had a man, tell you this right quick. I had a man that owns a Mayflower restaurant come. I went, he was a boss, he's an owner. And I was sitting in Mayflower. I handed him a gospel track. He called me up and said, Preacher Steele, can I meet you in your office at church? I met him in the office at church. He said, Preacher Steele. He said, man, he started crying. He said, man, my world's coming to an end. He told me his story, what he was going through. I said, let me ask you something. I said, do you know for sure if you died right now, you're going to go to heaven? He said, no, sir, I don't know that. I said, could I show you? I went and make a long story short, led him to Christ. He said, Preacher Steele, I wasn't really honest with you, but I got my 45. On the seat of my truck out there. And before I come, I loaded the chambers. I was gonna blow my brains out. He grabbed me and hugged me. I had no idea when I handed him a track, was pulling. Whoa! Glory! Hallelujah! Bless the Lord! Bless his holy name! Thank you, Jesus! Somebody ought to thank God that you didn't die underneath the rubble! And tonight, if you need to come for a moment and come and pray for somebody that you know is underneath the rubble, I want to challenge you to come. Find your place, this altar, as he's saying, turn over to Brother Stewart. And I'm done, I'm out of the way.